Through those neighborhoods today.
Yeah, that's right, Senator. Happy Monday, True Seekers. Thanks for tuning in to the program tonight. My name is Mike Malloy. This is the NOVAM Radio Network. Did you catch some of the Sunday talk show madness yesterday? Did you think it was just sugar rush from all that Easter candy? No. It was what you were seeing was really happening. Newt on Fox and McCain on 60 Minutes, both of them proving why the idea of sane Republicans is just a total contradiction in terms, mutually exclusive. It can't happen. What a couple of sorry SOBs. I hope they end up in the 2008 Republican primary, or as running mates. It could be Batty and Battier. And just when you thought Bunny Pants couldn't get any stupider, did you hear this? It didn't make it onto the news. He tried to plug in a hydrogen car, only there was a huge tank of hydrogen gas, and this dumb bastard picked up an electric plug and was about to plug it into an electric outlet, in which case Cheney would be president right now. But the guy from Ford Motor who just made a $28,000 for working 4 months, he was there. This is at the White House over the weekend. He was there, and he ran in front of Bush, pushed him aside, broke all the presidential protocol, and grabbed the electrical cord out of his hand. Why, you bastard. You bastard. So that's what happened to Chuckle Nuts. I thought Chuckle Nuts was down at Prairie Chapel.
Yeah, this wasn't over the weekend. This was sometime last week, you know, when he was walking around talking about burning corn and switchgrass and stuff. And what it was is there was a hydrogen car and an electric car.
Okay.
And he was about to make a fatal mistake.
He was going to plug in the hydrogen car and connect it with live electricity. Oh my goodness. I guess by this point the mourning would be over and he'd be buried and it would be President Cheney.
Yeah, Cheney's in the bushes going, plug it in, George.
Plug it in.
Plug it in, George. I've got the football anyway.
Right before the program, Reggie at TV News Live sent this to me. She says, I couldn't help but be amused at the differing news reports on today's anti-U.S. and anti-British demonstrations in Iraq. I believe this is from Sunday. What's the date today? Is this Sunday? Is this the 9th? I know it's not Sunday. What's the date today? The 9th? Okay. Anyway, the anti-U.S. and anti-British demonstrations in Iraq marking the fourth anniversary of the fall of Baghdad. Here's the way the Guardian of the UK reported it. Hundreds of thousands of supporters of the radical Shia cleric Muqtada al-Sadr took to the streets of two Shia holy sites in Iraq today and protested against U.S. occupiers. Here's the way the Associated Press reported it. Tens of thousands draped themselves in Iraqi flags and marched peacefully through the streets of two Shiite holy cities Monday to mark the fourth anniversary of Baghdad's fall. Here's the way the New York Times reported it. Large crowds marched in the city of Najaf today, the fourth anniversary of the fall of Baghdad, to protest the American occupation of Iraq. And CNN, which is the only media organization that seems to have relied on official U.S. military estimates, CNN reports Thousands of anti-U.S. protesters marched in the Shiite holy city of Najaf on Monday to mark the fourth anniversary of the fall of Baghdad. The U.S. Army estimated the crowd size at closer to 5,000 to 7,000, according to military spokesman Colonel Steve Boylan. 5,000 to 7,000, and the Guardian of London says hundreds of thousands. Don't you hate them? Don't you just hate the nest of snotty whores that American news media has become? Don't you? What else do we have here? Oh, Disney. Disney's in the news again. And this is going to drive the Southern Baptist Convention people just absolutely apoplectic. Disney has announced that it is changing its policy to allow same-sex couples to participate in a popular fairy tale wedding program it runs at its two U.S. resorts and a cruise line. Now, why am I giggling? All right? I'm giggling. I giggle because, well, let me go on and you'll know why I'm giggling. Disney previously allowed gay couples to organize their own weddings or commitment ceremonies at rented meeting rooms at the resorts, but had barred them from purchasing its fairy tale wedding package and holding the event at locations at Disneyland and Walt Disney World set aside specifically for weddings. Disney Parks and Resorts spokesman Don Walker said, quote, "This is consistent with our policy of creating a welcoming, respectful, and inclusive environment for all of our guests," end quote. Walker did say the change was prompted by, quote, "an inquiry from a guest who asked about this service," end quote. Now, here's why I'm laughing. Disney fairy tale wedding packages start at $8,000. That's about the price of a funeral, isn't it? And include a wedding planner, the ceremony, food and beverages, flowers, and table decorations. $8,000. The lavish wedding option also includes a ride to the ceremony in the Cinderella coach, costumed trumpeters heralding the couple's arrival, and attendance by Mickey and Minnie Mouse characters dressed in formal attire. Good God, gay, straight, Jew, Gentile, black, white, who in the hell wants Mickey and Minnie Mouse at your wedding? Disney has come under fire from religious conservatives, including the Southern Baptist Convention, who have accused the company of promoting a gay agenda. Mickey and Minnie Mouse at your wedding. Oh, my God.
When you were saying that's the same cost as a funeral, what do you mean by that?
$8,000. What the hell kind of a wedding do you get for $8,000? Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and plastic glasses to drink your Walgreens champagne out of?
So when you hear the word wedding, the first association
tens
word
and
that
hundreds
comes
of
up
money, tons
is
of money.
Funeral. Funeral.
No,
wedding,
no, no.
Funeral.
No, tons of money. And when I see $8,000 for a funeral, I just have to chuckle. And then until I see the part about Mickey and Minnie Mouse, and then I say to myself, oh, of course. All right, so if there are any gay folk out there listening to the program, hey, guess what? Now you can get married with Mickey and Minnie Mouse at your wedding. Oh, God. I can just see people stampeding to go book Disney World for their marriage, right? This is off topic. Adriana from New Jersey writes, where is Jerky? We haven't heard from him since you left Air America. Just wondering. I really enjoyed him calling you on the air. Hope he's all right. All right, Jerky, if you're listening. P.S. I've been a premium member, she writes, since the first week it became available. Thank you, Adriana. I don't know where Jerky is. Maybe he enlisted. Oh, that's a nice sound. Maybe he joined the military. Speaking of joining the military, I got an email from Mike in St. Paul who wants me to check out an article here that, oddly enough, I have on the stack for tonight. He says, Mike, check out this article. It's typical of how this administration treats veterans. It's not good enough to put your ass on the line for the country. You have to bow to the Fuhrer Bush in order to avoid public humiliation My family saw off my nephew this week, and he's headed to Iraq. He's a Marine Scout sniper, and he will be put in harm's way. Funny how a good Christian like George W. Bush will put a family through this on Easter Sunday. My family was in tears, including the Marine, when he boarded his plane at O'Hare. If you feel like it tonight, Mike, would you tell the story of how your son wanted to join the service and your Republican brother-in-law talked him out of it? The point being that a lot of young people are drawn to the service only to find that once they get there, they're just a number.
The man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
This I'll tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other.
21 past the hour. So Mike in St. Paul, who, when we did one of those gigs for Air America in New York, Mike flew over from all the way from St. Paul. He and his family saw off his nephew this weekend. He's a Marine. He's headed to Iraq. And Mike wanted me to tell the story of how my son, Chris, who is now 28, wanted to join, Chris wanted to join the Navy. And my brother-in-law talked him out of it. The point being, Mike writes, that a lot of young people are drawn to the service only to find out they're just a number. That was about 3 years ago. 4 years ago, wasn't it, Kathy? Yeah, Chris is about 24 at the time. And he's a big kid. Well, he's not a kid. He's a young man now. He's, Chris must be about 6'2", about 180. And he's fit as a fiddle. He was a firefighter. He was going to be a smoke jumper, but decided he wanted to get into nursing. So he's going to go to nursing school. His wife is going to become an environmental attorney. And between the two of them, they're going to kick ass and take names. But 4 years ago, before Chris was married, he thought about joining the Navy. And I wasn't exactly sure what to tell him. Well, my brother-in-law was a naval officer, two tours in Vietnam, and then shore duty in Italy for 4 years? Yeah, for 4 years. And Ken was a gung-ho Republican, gung-ho a Navy. Of course, the Bush years turned him around. So I said to Chris, well, you know, I haven't had experience in the military, but, you know, Uncle Ken has, so call him and talk to him. Because I had called Ken prior to telling Chris to call, and Ken just freaked out. I said, have him join the military? I'd break his legs first, especially now. I said, yeah, but you were in Vietnam. He said, don't make any difference. This is Bush. This is Rumsfeld at the time. This is Iraq. Tell Chris, and I said, well, if you don't mind, you talk to him. And so Chris had a conversation with his Uncle Ken, and a couple days later, Chris called me back or sent me an email or something and said, okay, never mind. The story that Mike wanted me to bring up to you was this one. I had selected a top constitutional scholar from Princeton, a guy named Walter Murphy, gave a televised speech, and this was in rawstory.com. He gave a televised speech, this guy did, that criticized Bush's executive overreach. You know, misusing the office of the presidency. Well, this guy, Walter Murphy, the McCormick Professor of Jurisprudence Emeritus at Princeton University, recently learned he had been added to the Transportation Security Administration's terrorist watch list. Can you believe this? What happened was he attempted to check his luggage at curbside in Albuquerque before boarding a plane to Newark, New Jersey. And Professor Murphy was told he could not use that service. Murphy said, quote, I was denied a boarding pass because I was on the terrorist watch list, end quote. When inquiring with the clerk why he was on the list, Walter Murphy was asked if he had participated in any peace marches. The clerk said, quote, we ban a lot of people from flying because of that, end quote. Murphy then explained that he had not marched but had, quote, in September 2006, given a lecture at Princeton, televised and put on the web, highly critical of George Bush for his many violations of the Constitution, end quote. The clerk at the airport responded, "That'll do it." Murphy was allowed to board the plane, but he was warned that his luggage would be ransacked. They told him that. On his return trip to Albuquerque, his luggage was lost. Now, here's the what that right-winger Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Walter F. Murphy, the McCormick Professor of Jurisprudence Emeritus at Princeton University, is a decorated Marine who served in the Korean War. He was a Marine reservist for 19 years. And the blogger, Mark Graber, who originally brought the story out, said there are other reasons that Professor Murphy was an unlikely terror suspect. Graber wrote, "While he holds some opinions, most notably on welfare, similar to opinions held on the political left, he's a sharp critic of Roe v. Wade and supported Sammy the Fish Alito's nomination." McCormick, Professor of Jurisprudence Emeritus at Princeton University, and because he criticized the rat bastard in the White House, he was put on a terror watch list. Well, we'll find out about me in a few days, won't we, Kathy? And in a few days, I'll be attempting to board a plane here in Atlanta to fly to Phoenix for the birthday party, which will be next Sunday, Sunday coming, at 8 p.m. 8 p.m.? Yeah. No, 4 p.m. Sunday the 15th at 4 p.m. at Axis Radius in Scottsdale. Live music, entertainment, drinks, and birthday cake. You can go to Nova M Radio for tickets, or you can drop by the radio station. You go to novamradio.com for tickets, or you can drop by the radio station if you live in Phoenix. They're at 824 Washington. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
And those that preside on Capitol Hill, I told him, don't fill the front lines of their war. Those aren't worth dying for. And he said, roll with it, baby. Make it your career. Keep the home fire burning.
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. Okay, I get it. The story about Bush and the multi-millionaire CEO of Ford was not true. Another, I guess, what's happened here, Keith Olbermann on tonight's program showed the tape that put the lie to the story. The Ford executive was the one who made it up. In a recent automaker's publication. And regarding that, Claudia in Kentucky wrote, "Mike, if George had blown himself up accidentally, I would have believed in God again." Okay. I really don't care about that story, whether it's true or false, but I guess the CEO of Ford Motor has made enough money that he figures he can say anything he wants to. Sort of like Don Imus, huh? This is from Don in Baltimore. "Hello, Mike. Why does Imus have to answer to Al Sharpton? Who made him God? Jesus said, 'You without sin cast the first stone.' So who made Al Sharpton God? Everybody's talking about Imus and his buddies' despicable comments on the air. Yes, what he and they said was despicable, but he also admitted it and apologized. Now his audience and his advertisers and bosses can deal with it in their own way. But who made Al Sharpton the boss of what anybody can say in America? Every time some white guy screws up in public and says something despicable and yet regrettable, they face this guy, Al Sharpton, ready like a shark smelling blood to pounce on the white guy. It is also a two-faced double standard in America where blacks can say anything they want about themselves and white people and anyone but white people can't even make a mistake without some cutthroats like Al Sharpton waiting around like a shark to get their teeth into any racial issues to satisfy their own quest for publicity and power." That's a long sentence, Don. "And why do they run to Al Sharpton and beg for forgiveness? Who made him God?" Okay, look, that's the fifth time you've asked me who made... I don't know who made him God. "The people and his bosses can deal with Imus's despicable comments without Al Sharpton, period. It makes me sick, this guy's power in the media, and why whenever something like this happens, up pops Al Sharpton." to preach to everybody. BS. Makes me sick. Who the hell is this guy that everybody has to answer to? All right. Well, Al Sharpton is... See, white people... I'll tell you what it is. Don, I'm going to assume you're white. I don't know why I'm assuming that, but I will. Every once in a while, white people in America designate a Negro spokesman. And white people make the decision. With the exception of Martin Luther King Jr., but Martin Luther King Jr. was in a class all but, well, he was in a class with Jesus and Gandhi. But ever since Dr. King, we've had a series of African-American spokesmen. And, see, contrary to what you might think, Don, black folk don't get together and decide who's going to be their spokesman. White people do that. And I'm surprised, Don, you weren't included in the last meeting. But we usually get maybe half a million or a million white people together, and we decide who's going to be the next spokesman for Negroes in America. And it was Al Sharpton's turn. You know, Al Sharpton, who really gained his notoriety by preaching about the Tawana Brawley case that turned out to be just, I mean, like something out of a madman's head. I don't even want to go back to it. It was long ago, not that long ago, but the Tawana Brawley case was just horrifying, horrifying. And it turned out there was nothing there. But Al Sharpton is what he is. You know, he makes a living. He does all right. He's got a radio show. Imus. Oh, God. Imus. Well, not just Imus. You know, why is Imus getting all of this attention? I mean, isn't there, you know, what about McCain? Why not focus on what McCain has said and now retracted, which we'll have for you in a second here. But and this Melanie Morgan, this psychopath who is on KSFO in San Francisco, who told her co-host on April 4th, she has a co-host, Lee Rogers. I've never heard of it. I think Melanie Morgan was one of the people that tried to counter demonstrate against Cindy Sheehan or something. I don't know. But she and her co-host Rogers on KSFO, she said to her co-host Rogers, quote, "Do you remember when Al Sharpton was on that rolling fast for peace with Cindy Sheehan and I went on television and offered him a loaf of bread? He didn't like that, Lee." Well, And then Rogers replied, "Well, thank God you didn't offer him a watermelon." Now, you see, that that's in America's liberal city of San Francisco. And that flies under the radar, apparently. Rush Limbaugh is the most blatant Klan-style racist out there. But they don't go after Limbaugh because he's so wealthy. I don't know why they're going after Imus. I really don't. I think what Don Imus said was just unbelievably bad. I frankly think that Imus's radio career ought to be over. You know, you get to a point, I guess. I don't know. I'll never get to that point. But I guess you get to a point where you have so goddamn much money and so much perceived power, you think you do, that you think you can say anything. Imus's program, probably 40% of it is juvenile. It's high school boy bat crap. I like the music, the live music guests. I've been watching this program for the past couple of months in the morning. It's either that or watch the O'Briens over at CNN. I just couldn't handle that. So, you know, about 40% of his show I found to be very entertaining. The country music, it's reintroduced me to country music, which I had just given up on several years ago. And his guests, all the news media stars, the political stars, everybody gets on Imus's program. Why? I don't know. He comes to, and you know, he's a very charitable guy. He has this thing for the cancer children, and that's a good thing. But Imus is an old man who acts like he's 15, snapping ass with towels in the boys' locker room. Why anybody takes him seriously is beyond me, and his whole crew, that whole crew of morons who sit in there. But this is the way so many male-dominated, white male-dominated morning programs are. Now, as far as the kind of language used, what happens is a lot of these old white men think that because rappers talk this way, because black comedians talk this way, where they can talk about hoes and the N-word and nappy this and so on and so forth, you know, that's the vernacular in which they've decided to go ahead and do their art. But that does not give entree into that world to old white men or young white men, with very few exceptions, maybe Eminem, but that's about it. All other white people stay out. That's just the rule. I mean, that's the way it goes. And part of the reason is because black folks didn't own white people in this country for 300 years. There's a thing here, and I don't understand why white people can't get this through their heads, especially white males. White males are at the top of the food chain in America, always have been. That entails some responsibility. You don't do this kind of thing. You don't make these kinds of comments about black folk or about this group or that group or the other group. You just don't. I'm sorry. That's part of the privilege of being a white male in America. You shut your goddamn mouth about this stuff and grow up. That's what you do. Now, Imus or any of his cohort, if they want to attack somebody who's hurting the country. The Rutgers women's basketball team didn't do anything except play basketball. And no, Imus, you don't have a right to call black women nappy-headed hoes. That's not for you to say, ever. Damn you, get off the air. You make me ashamed to be white. That's how bad it is. All of you. Limbaugh, Melanie Morgan, all the rest of you white people who do this over and over. Look at Michael Richards screaming the N-word. Arrogant sons of bitches who think that because they're white, for the most part because they're male, because they have money, because they have media power, that they can do this. And then watching the videos today of poor Don Imus going on Reverend Al's program. You know, Reverend Al's got his shtick going. He's got his hustle going. I've got no bone to pick with Al Sharpton. He's done some good things. He's done some half-witted, asinine things. But there's Imus going on to that program today, sitting there. I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is it? So NBC late today said they're going to suspend him for 2 weeks starting next Monday. CBS Radio Network and Westwood One that syndicates his radio show, they don't know yet. They're going to wait and see if it affects the money. If it doesn't affect the money, what do they care? I just don't get it. I don't know what it is. What happens to white males when they reach a certain level of financial and media popularity and success in this country that they feel that the rules don't apply to them anymore? I can say anything I want to. In what's his name? Who is the movie guy? Mel Gibson, who went off on the Jews. I mean, what the hell is wrong with these people? It's just crazy. So for Imus to, you know, all of Imus' supporters, and I was really getting into the program. I don't give a goddamn if I never see him again. I really don't, because he makes it hard on me. He makes it hard for me to live in my own country. Why don't you sit down and shut up, Don? You whiny-ass old man, you. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough power. What the hell is wrong with you? Media in this country, all the media stars come sucking up to your program every morning. And you have to rip off one like that. Go to hell, Imus. The fire's burning and the local people turning on the merchants and the shops who used to sell their brooms and mops. The household item, watch a mob just turn and bite them, and they say it served them right, because a few of them were white, and it's the same across the nation, black and white discrimination, yeah, and you can't understand.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. And of course, media in this country, they just salivate over a story like Imus, which again, I don't understand. Here you have McCain going on CBS 60 Minutes last night with Scott Pelley. admitting that the comments he made about walking around in Baghdad were essentially a bunch of garbage, and then laughing about it. This was sent to me, and I just have to toss it in. Normally, I just stay away from garbage like this, but and I don't mean the person that sent it to me sent me garbage. I'm sure it was sent to me for a reason. But Paula Zahn, have you heard about this? You got to wonder if Paula Zahn was one of those that decided Bill Clinton wasn't worthy of drawing breath 7-8 years ago because he was fooling around with Monica Lewinsky. And the reason you got to wonder that is that Paula Zahn now has a married boyfriend. She's told her husband, Richard Cohen, to take a walk, and she's filed for divorce. According to this from New York Post, an insider confirmed that only does Zahn have a boyfriend, he's also married with children. Howard Rubenstein, who is a talent rep for both, talent rep or a lawyer for both Zahn and Cohen, said it's going to get very messy. Paula Zahn and her husband have 3 kids. They're not talking, quote, because of the children, end quote. They did confirm the divorce. An insider added, quote, things really started going downhill for Paula and Richard during the Pale Male and Lola incident in 2004. You remember that? Richard Cohen, who was then her husband, the president of the co-op board of the couple's swanky building on Fifth Avenue, signed off on removing the nest of 2 hawks perched on the ornamental exterior framework. Remember that, Kathy? The eviction set off a global outcry leading to a protest by Mary Tyler Moore, who lived there at the time. God, yeah, the rich and famous are different from you and me. They're all psychopaths. They're all crazy. They're all hypocrites. They're lying sons of bitches. I wouldn't give you 10 cents. I'd rather have one of the listeners to this program rather than 10 of these media stars who just make me sick. They make me absolutely nauseous. What is with people? Because you get fame and fortune in this sick, perverted, capitalistic society, all of a sudden you have license to do anything you want to do. Say anything you want to say. Use as many resources as you possibly can stuff in your mouth or any other body orifice. And it doesn't matter because you're rich and famous. You can be like Rush Limbaugh and send your maid out to buy drugs for you, drive yourself blind as you stuff your face with drugs. You can be Imus, who walks around with his wrinkles hanging out, acting like he's 14 years old, making racist statements like this that really go beyond the joke level, Don. You would know that if your brain was older than 50 or your thought processes were beyond an adolescence. Jesus, what is with people? It just goes on and on and on and on. God almighty. Yeah, McCain, if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, McCain criticized CNN's Wolf Blitzer, saying he didn't know, Blitzer didn't know what was going on in Iraq. Blitzer knows everything. Blitzer is a member of Mossad who happens to be working for CNN. But they're stupid John McCain, naive John McCain, mentally unbalanced, PTSD'd out of his mind John McCain, saying Blitzer didn't know what was going on in Iraq. And as proof of that, McCain claimed on that interview with Blitzer, General Petraeus goes out there almost every day in an unarmed Humvee. Well, Sunday night on 60 Minutes, McCain acknowledged the statement was a lie. He said, quote, there is no unarmored Humvees. Obviously, that's the case. And then he went on to say, I'm trying to make the point over and over and over and over and over again that we're making progress, end quote. So this son of a bitch McCain can get out there and lie and accuse former U-boat commander Wolf Blitzer of being an ignorant dork when McCain is lying through his teeth. And what do we talk about today? Not me. I couldn't care less. I just had to make a couple of comments about Imus. But what are media talking about today? Imus. How about McCain? Son of a bitch. Imus isn't getting anyone dead. Well, he's adding to the racist atmosphere in this country. But that starts at the top. And then filters down to dreck like Imus. You know, it starts at the top with Bush and Limbaugh and Cheney and the rest of these people with their carefully coded words. Then some doofus like Imus just figures, well, I'm rich, I'm famous, I can say any damn thing I want to. You know, I'm just like any other rich, famous white man. McCain also previously claimed there were neighborhoods where you can walk around freely, claiming his little stroll through that Baghdad market was an example. Did you hear subsequent to that that the crazed killers in Baghdad went into that market, rounded up 21 shopkeepers, this is how it's been reported on the news, took them out in the country and killed them all as a way of saying to McCain, screw you. McCain said part of his interview, he said he knew he was heavily protected. And he also said he didn't know the helicopters up there were part of the protection. And then he said, I can understand why they would provide me with that security. Oh, yeah? Oh, my God. Scott Pelley noted that McCain had been a fierce critic of Donald Rumsfeld, but seemed to give Bush a pass. McCain responded, should I look back in anger or should I look forward? What the hell does that mean? No, you didn't misspeak, McCain. You want everybody to believe what you believe. You want everyone to think that it's roses and pie. Tell that to the 10 soldiers killed this weekend. Better yet, I'll tell you what, tell it to their families, you psychopathic Republican jackass. And Imus is getting all the press today? Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Yeah, Sam Cedar. Oh, well, first of all, before I talk about Sam for a second here, or longer, welcome to everybody in Portland, KPOJ, that just started carrying a program again tonight. I delayed saying welcome because they delay us. The program is not carried live in Portland, but we're there from 9 to midnight Pacific time. We're very happy to be back on that radio station. It's my understanding that a lot of folks in the Portland area petitioned and threatened to set themselves on fire if the station didn't pick up the program again once I got rehired. So to KPOJ management, thanks a lot for picking us up again. We do appreciate it here at Novem Radio, and I appreciate it personally. And to the listeners in Portland who made an effort to say, hey, you know, we liked his program, thank you. I appreciate it. I mean that. Sam Cedar, who made it official today, I haven't been to his blog site yet, so I'm not sure if he has laid out the reasons why the new pack of rat bastards at Air America decided to let him go. The old pack of rat bastards at Air America let me go and let Mark Maron go and a few other people go. Air America has had a series of packs of rat bastards in the management position. And this is eventually the story's got to come out. I've called the nation. They're not interested. They haven't shown any interest yet. Maybe Mother Jones, maybe the New York Post, maybe the New York Times. Somebody eventually will tell the truth about what happened with Air America. Shelley and Anita Drobny, whose idea it was, who put it together, were pushed out the door from just about day six, and from that point on, it went right in the crapper, just down the pipes for mismanagement. The people that wound up on the board of directors of Air America, some of them were thugs, liars, cheats, right-wingers, liberals with their heads up their anuses, people with money, just like I'm talking about Imus, who thought, oh, goody, I get to run a radio network. The talent, I'm not talking about the on-air talent. They were lucky to get some really talented people, some of whom had no radio experience whatsoever, to get that network launched. And yeah, they hired Al Franken for his marquee value. But the only two people on that original group that had any radio experience were Randy Rhodes and me. Which really didn't make that much difference once it launched. Air America, the managers and owners of Air America did something that is just almost impossible to understand. They took a brand. Air America was branded so quickly by the New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, LA Times, Chicago Tribune, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Miami Herald. I mean, they had branding, as they call it, that you can't buy. And what did the management team at Air America do? Destroyed it. Absolutely destroyed it. Air America is going nowhere. They're heading for a brick wall at 100 miles an hour, and eventually you're going to hit it. And it's a shame to see this going on. Now, having said all that, Sam Cedar was as talented as anybody on that station, including Randy and me. Randy and I had a head start on Sam. Sam was an actor. Sam was a writer. And then he got into radio. And I watched Sam, and I don't mean this in a patronizing way, not at all, but I watched Sam grow into that job to the point where he was doing one hell of a job, and he still has a tremendous fan base. But you see, Air America, like so many of the broadcast outlets, they don't give a damn. They don't care how popular somebody is. They'll cut your throat in a second. Why? They don't need a reason. Because they can. You know, for the Green family, the so-called New York liberals to take over Air America, like something's going to happen? Yeah, I'll tell you what's going to happen. The company is in bankruptcy. The company, in its old conformation, screwed enough people out of so much money. Yes, me included. And yes, Al Franken, a lot of people just got absolutely screwed, cheated, lied to. The new group, billionaires, decided, we'll take the bankruptcy, but we're not going to pay off anybody. We're not going to take all the talent that built Air America and pay them the money that the old crew stole from them. No, we're not going to do that. And the new crew, the new Air America, is comprised of some of the old Air America. They still sit on the board of directors. Lying, cheating sons of bitches. And don't even get me started on AFTRA, my union, who is complicit in this. I am so pro-union. But I've got some things to say about AFTRA that I'll say in the right forum. So, when I find out my friend Sam Cedar is gone, I wonder how much longer before they decide to dump Randy. Huh? This is on his blog. It is with a heavy heart that I must announce that this week will be the last of the Sam Cedar Show on Air America. As you know, Air America recently came out of Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and the new management wants to go in a different direction with the 9 to noon Eastern time slot. This is Sam. Sam wrote this. However, as much as I would like to spend more time with Alberto Gonzalez's family, he will be doing so shortly, freeing me up to do a Sunday afternoon show on Air America. The show is tentatively known as Cedar on Sundays. And I'm excited to get it started. I'm very proud of 3 years I've broadcast on Air America. I'm particularly proud of the Sam Cedar Show. We started this show as AAR was entering bankruptcy. He's talking about his morning show. When things around here were pretty hectic and insecure, the Sam Cedar juggernaut, as no one but me called us, was able to maintain all of our affiliates that stayed with the progressive format through our bankruptcy. While it's a bit early, too early to judge Our ratings were looking pretty good, and we dramatically increased Air America's streaming numbers during this time slot. Most importantly, though, was the support and response we received from you, our audience. You'll never know just how helpful or motivating your comments, calls, emails, and letters have been to me and my family, and I greatly appreciate it. You can go to MajorityReportRadio.com and respond to Sam if you want to. But, you know, I've been here. I've been through this. So I know what Sam is going through. He's putting on a brave face. And bless him for it. But it's a real kick to the solar plexus, especially when you know damn good and well that the reason you're being fired is because of management's inability to understand radio as a medium, A, B, talent as a part of that medium. It's incredible. It's just astonishing. So to Air America Radio's new management, screw you. You're just as bad as the old management. Go to hell, all of you.
You're very angry tonight.
I'm angry. I'm furious about this kind of stuff. About Sam's thing, about this jerk Imus, you know, and just when I'm starting to enjoy the Imus program, he opens both his, opens his mouth and crams both of his cowboy boot-clad feet deep down into his own gullet. What a jerk.
Well, more radio jobs maybe in New York here pretty soon, hint, hint, wink, wink. But what I was going to say about Sam and all this, the thing that aggravated me, not just not getting any severance pay for anybody that I know, including myself and you, when we got so unceremoniously dumped, was that it didn't seem like management at Air America, present, past, future, whatnot, cares at all about their audience.
They don't.
Forget the brand. I mean, it's just not good publicity to keep pulling people off the lineup that have developed fan bases.
That's
that
right.
Are winning their time slots. It's
That's
just
right.
Insanity. You don't show loyalty. No one's going to be loyal to you if you're not loyal to them.
And Sam and Janine, they used to be on right before we came on, from what, 7 to 10, and Sam and Janine on the original program on Air America. You know, people can say what they want about Janine's liberalism or Sam's kind of stuttering at the beginning of trying to put this show together, the two of them trying to work things out, how the program is going to go. But the two of them built a phenomenally loyal listener base. They really did. And when Sam switched over to mornings, so many of those listeners went along. And he developed a brand new a listener base. Rather than get out and promote Sam's program, these evil sons of bitches, and yes, liberals can be evil. As a matter of fact, some liberals are more evil where it concerns this sort of stuff than your typical conservative ever could be. You expect this out of conservatives. But to the Green family that has taken over Air America, to hell with you. You are going to fail. There is no question you're going to fail. And shame on you for firing Sam Cedar. Shame on you.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. You know, this is a radio business, and I'm not going to dwell on this. But, you know, Don Imus is a radio guy and can say that, or can't apparently say the kinds of things that he says. There are so many thugs and bastards in this business, and not all of them are behind the microphone. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. This is not a business you get into for job security or you know, where you feel like you're going to work for a company who's going to be decent in the long run, with one exception. I've been in this business 25 years, and I have met two people, who are honest, straightforward, do what they say, and for whom I will work as long as they'll have me until I'm not in radio anymore. And that's the people I work for now, Shelley and Anita Drobny, the two people who formed Air America. They are the ones who started Air America. It was theirs. They gave birth to it. And then watched it stole away by these thugs. And again, for any of you who and I'm sure I, you know, this is kind of stupid for me to say this. rich liberals are some of the scummiest people on the earth, because for some reason, when liberals get rich, they start hoarding. When conservatives get rich, they start spreading the money so that their message can get out and they can further pollute and corrupt our political system. When liberals get rich, the sons of bitches will sit there and count their money like Midas, I guess. And you can approach them time and time and time again. Look, we're trying to start a network. Look, we're trying to start a magazine. Look, we're trying to start a newspaper. Look, you got to contribute this. Okay. Let my people get in touch with your people and maybe we can work it out. I watched Shelley and Anita. I didn't see them, but I know the story of how Shelley and Anita Drobny went around to goddamn near every single rich liberal in New York and Hollywood when this thing was coming together, Air America, begging. Finally, to the point of begging for some assistance. Didn't get it. So who stepped into the void? People who showed up who said they had pots of money and they didn't. And one of the first things that happened was a lawsuit. Because the first guy that showed up was using money from the Boys and Girls Clubs in New York that he stole. And then Air America had to pay it back. I mean, it just goes on and on. On and on and on. Go to Amazon.com and find the book Road to Air America that was written, oh hell, I don't know, 3 years ago by Shelley Drobny. If you want to know how this network really started, because all there is out there now, or that network, Air America, all there is out there now is lies and bat squeeze. Road to Air America by Shelley Drobny. You'll find it someplace. I don't know. Kathy, you're right. I'm angry tonight. I'm really angry. I don't like it. I'm like anybody else. When somebody I like gets screwed over like Sam Cedar got screwed over, I don't like it. I don't like it. And when somebody that makes more money than God and has this position at the top of the food chain like Don Imus decides he can say nasty stuff that makes white people in this country look like hell and further divides us, I get pissed at that, too. I get real angry at this stuff. And when some punk ass like John McCain can tell America that it's safe to walk through neighborhoods in Baghdad, when it is not safe to walk through neighborhoods in Baghdad, I get angry. I just get angry about this stuff. Don't you?
Absolutely. And I think we ought to get Sam on the show, and I'm going to work on that so we can hopefully have him on at his convenience. I know he's a busy guy.
Well, don't forget, he's still going to be working for Air America, so...
Yeah, I know. And he was still working for Air America when he had you on after you were so unceremoniously dumped on our way to work that day.
Yeah, but I had to climb up four stories in lower Manhattan and go through a fire escape window to get into the building. They took away my passcode or
Well, he has a welcome open door here anytime he
does. He
wants
to call. He does. All right, let's I'm just all over the place tonight and reason for it. I just hate this stuff, you know? I mean, why can't
we just all get along?
Oh, my God.
Well, you've said it about a million times. This is not the business you get into for job security. This is not exactly, you know, you don't have a 20-year plan.
No,
most people.
You don't. When you get into this business, you have a 20-month plan, if that, 20-week plan. All right, we got time to, no, we don't have time to do any McCain. Or I've only got a couple of McCain, and I want you to hear just how out of touch with reality. This guy is becoming George Bush. Do you know that? And then some things that this PNAC psychopath Bill Kristol said. And then Newt Gingrich. And then we're going to get around to taking your calls. All right. Let's do a break. We'll come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio Network.
The radio. Come on me. I got a 0018, a Martin guitar in the back seat of the car. Hey, I am leaving Mississippi with the radio on. 'Cause we can't find a friend, still got the radio. We can't find a friend, still got the radio.
Hey, neocons, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's more Mike Malloy.
And if it got lost in all my ranting and raving tonight, another big wet kiss to KPOJ in Portland for putting us back on the air in that city. And thank you very, very much to the listeners of KPOJ who made an effort to get the program back on. I appreciate it. And who are they replacing Sam with? Lionel? Isn't that a train set?
No, no, come on. Lionel's not all bad.
Well, he's certainly not a liberal.
Well, he's not Alan Colmes. Good liberal like that.
Yeah, okay. All right. We're getting way behind here. John McCain on 60 Minutes last night. This guy is really, I don't know, maybe, I don't even know. He's got a lot of personal stuff going on in his marriage, too. But McCain was interviewed by Scott Pelley, who called him out on these bizarre delusions that Iraq is somehow safer today than ever before. And I don't think I've ever heard a presidential candidate say they disagreed with the American people or didn't care what the American people wanted. Seems like a strange way to get votes to me. Pelley says, "We've talked about the majority of Americans wanting out of Iraq at this point. I wonder at what point do you stop doing what you think is right and you start doing what the majority of the American people want?"
Again, I disagree with what the majority of the American people want. And I believe the consequences of failure are catastrophic. Those who say just withdraw, then you say, what next? Failure will lead to chaos.
This guy is morphing into Bush. There's just no question. That's his new campaign slogan. "I disagree with what the majority of the American people want. Vote for me." Jesus, God, straight talk, huh? All right, let's play it again. We can get better sound quality. Go ahead. I think we can get better sound quality.
Well, again, I disagree with what the majority of the American people want. And I believe the consequences of failure are catastrophic. Those who say just withdraw, then you say, what next? Failure will lead to chaos.
Failure will lead to chaos. Oh, okay. What the hell is going on now, John? After 4 years.
Vote for me. I don't care what you think.
Then Pelley questioned Senator McCain's off-the-wall lies about, for example, General Petraeus running around in unarmored Humvees and how everyone could just stroll around without any fear of attack. Pelley says, "Before you went on that trip, you mentioned in an interview that General Petraeus sometimes goes into Baghdad in an unarmored Humvee, and that there are neighborhoods that you could walk through without being concerned for your safety."
There is no unarmored Humvees. Obviously, that's the case. I'm trying to make the point over and over and over again that we are making progress, and there are signs of progress. Of course, I'm gonna misspeak, and I have done it on numerous occasions, and I probably will in the future. I regret that when I divert attention to something that I've said from my message, but you know, that's just life, and I'm happy with the way I operate. Otherwise, it'd be a lot less fun.
Jesus, God, what is this freak saying? There is no armored... First of all, your verb tense is wrong, you jackass. There's no armored Humvees. Obviously, that's the case, he says. And why doesn't that make you a liar? Didn't your party crucify John Kerry for much less than that, you hypocritical little twit? And he says, I like this part. "Of course I'm going to misspeak. I've done it on numerous occasions." Really? "And I will probably do it in the future." Okay, just what we need. Another lying Republican who wants to be president who, quote, misspeaks, end quote, all the time. Ooh, okay. And he says, "But you know, that's just life. I'm a lying son of a..." I'm a lying Republican. Excuse me, that's redundant. All right, I'm a liar. That's just life, and I'm happy. That's the way I operate. I love being a liar.
If I told the truth, it'd be a lot less fun. Whee! See how much fun it is to make up lies about the war? See? Whee! I can do it too, Chuckle Nuts. Cheney was right. This is fun. Woohoo! Woohoo! Jesus! God in heaven! Ah!
Vote for me. I'm going to misspeak all the time and lie about the war because, you know, 8 years is not enough of that.
Finally, Pelley asked McCain about the other giganto misspeaking about how he, McCain, could just stroll through the markets of Iraq without a care in the world, except for the fact that he was followed by two Apache helicopters, two gunships, 100 armed troops.
Maybe he just didn't see them.
You know, he is getting up there in years. Maybe his vision isn't what it used to be. Pelley says, you took a walk through a Baghdad market the other day, but backing up that stroll through the market was 10 armored Humvees, 100 soldiers with rifles, 2 Apache attack helicopters circling overhead. That doesn't seem, Senator, like a safe neighborhood.
I understand why they would provide me with that security, but I can tell you, if it had been 2 months ago and I'd asked to do it, they'd have said under no circumstances whatsoever. I view that as a sign of progress.
I view it as a sign of mental illness and really bad eyesight, you freak. What? A sign of progress? That you can go for a stroll with 4 helicopter gunships in the sky, a company of soldiers surrounding you, snipers, body armor, and he says, oh, never mind. It's a sign of progress because he can do that now. 2 months ago, he couldn't do anything. Oh, jeez.
It's like the progress Bush talked about a few months ago when he said, well, yeah, they're killing Americans, but, you know, they're killing a lot more Iraqis.
Well,
so there's progress.
That's progress. That's right. And Bill Kristol, one of the America's more well-known American Zionists and signer of the Project for the New American Century, and one of the people who insisted on forcing the United States to go into war with Iraq, and now wants war with Iran. This blood-sucking son of a bitch ought to be handed a rifle and drop him off in downtown Tehran, butt naked, except for an American flag around his waist, and see how long he lasts. Or downtown Baghdad, take your choice. So, on Fox News on Sunday, Kristol, who has been an unceasing cheerleader for war with Iran, said that Bush could easily build support for an Iran attack at the beginning of 2008. He also has said, I think we could be in a military confrontation with Iran much sooner than people expect. So Sunday morning, Kristol again promoted the concept of war with Iran. He said Iran's kidnapping of the 15 British soldiers brought the world closer to another war. How so? Well, Kristol said, had it been up to him, he would have gone in and nuked, bombed, all right, I'm adding nuked, he would have bombed, attacked Iran. Here's what he said. It's a real humiliation for the British, and of course the Europeans didn't stand by them either, and it sent the signal to the worst forces in Iran. To me, there are splits in the Iranian government. It has strengthened the worst forces in Iran by making them think they can push the West around. We came closer to war with Iran this week. The only way to avoid war is to have the Iranians believe the West is tough enough to threaten them with war and tighten the economic pressure. After the Germans refused to help the British, after the British refused to do anything, after we've been very passive. We're closer to war with Iran. If either war or an Iran with nuclear, it's either war or Iran with nuclear weapons. And then Armstrong, or not Armstrong Williams, but the other guy on the program, some other guy says, well, what was the alternative? To go in and strike them while the hostages were there? Kristol, yes. In a sane society, in a just society, in a society that doesn't tolerate idiots and doesn't suffer fools gladly, William Kristol would, with John McCain, be locked away, a straitjacket preventing any real movement, a Hannibal Lecter-style mask preventing his lips from flapping about moronic ideas.
But that's not where we live. The Guardian of the UK reported this weekend that the U.S. offered to take military action on behalf of those soldiers, or those sailors and Marines that the British had foolishly allowed to be captured, including the U.S. military said, all right, how about if we buzz the Iranian Revolutionary Guard positions with warplanes? According to the Guardian of the UK, the British declined the offer and said the United States could calm the situation by staying out of it. Well, yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? Last one. Oops, that's the music. All right, I just want you to hear one with Mike Wallace's offspring over at Fox, Chris Wallace, talking with Newt Gingrich. You got to hear this. And then we're going to move on to your phone calls, I think. What else we got here? We're going to do phone calls? Yeah, phone calls. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, I just got an email from the folks at 12thharmonic.net in Australia and Sydney. John, who is also part of the Head On Radio Network along with Bob Kincaid here in the States, John writes, G'day Malloy, listening to you go off about tight-fisted liberals, the Drobny's not included. Tight-fisted liberals not caring or supporting endeavors like Nova N and the Head On Radio Network hits home. It's sad when Air America couldn't give a blank about the listeners. The writing was on the wall a long time ago. My heart goes out to Sam Cedar. He's being marginalized, just like Mark Maron was. We've done the math here. One day's budget for Air America Radio could run us for a year. What is the problem with rich liberals? They complain we don't get a fair shake on our message, yet they won't invest in it. Dumbasses, all of them. Thanks for opening that particular vein, John in Sydney. Well, you're welcome, John. Yeah, Shelley and I have had many a wine fest, Shelley Drobny and I, about that particular subject. It's a shame. It's a shame. But, you know, wealthy liberals would just like to sit back and whine. They really would. There's something congenitally twisted inside the mind of a rich liberal where it concerns responding by providing money for a media onslaught like the right wing does. And I guess it's because once you become rich, it doesn't make any difference if you're liberal or conservative. You're going to be okay. Now, you know it's bad for the Republicans when one of their own propagandists, little Chrissy Wallace at Fox, God, the guy just irritates me, Chris Wallace, and to think that Mike Wallace is his dad, oh. Anyway, when one of their toy propagandists at Fox, Chris Wallace in this instance, goes after a favorite son like Cool Hand Newt, Wallace called Newt out on his hypocrisy over the Pelosi trip to Syria, which Newt called dangerous for America. The vice president and I agree, it's dangerous for America. Because her trip allegedly contradicted Bush's policy, Wallace began by saying, Speaker Gingrich, don't you just love that suck-up part? Speaker Gingrich, when you were speaker, you made a number of foreign trips. You expressed opinions when you were overseas. So have other speakers. During a trip to China in 1997, you told leaders there, quote, we will defend Taiwan, period. When U.S. policy on defending Taiwan was much vaguer than that. Just before a trip to Israel in 1998, you said,
I think it's wrong for the American Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, to become the agent for the Palestinians. In fact, weren't you far more provocative than Speaker Pelosi?
Speaker Pelosi can be very provocative in the U.S. What I said in China, by the way, was U.S. policy.
Well, not according to the Clinton administration, it was.
The U.S. government, President Clinton had just put new U.S. aircraft carriers in the Straits of Taiwan. I mean, the American position has always been, we do not recognize Taiwan as an independent country. We would protect Taiwan if there was a Chinese, if the People's Republic invaded Taiwan. And I think it was very important for the Chinese to understand that there was a unified agreement. They were being very aggressive at that time.
And what about saying that the Madeleine Albright was an agent for the Palestinians?
I think at the time she was taking steps that were very, very pro-Palestinian.
You understand my point that it looks like they're two foreign policies?
The one time that I said something that was too strong when I was outside the U.S., I think you can say anything in the U.S. That's part of the American political system. The one time I said there was something wrong, I said publicly I'd made a mistake, and I pulled back because I do believe that you have to coordinate. And I think that both Sandy Berger and President Clinton would tell you that we talked constantly about foreign policy and tried to work together on a whole range of issues in foreign policy.
Oh, yeah? How'd that work out, you rat bastard? You talk constantly about foreign policy and tried to work together on a whole range of issues on foreign policy when you were Speaker of the House? Was that at the time when you were saying that no matter who put a camera in your face, no matter what the conversation was, you were going to talk about Monica Lewinsky? At the same time, you were boinking an employee, an intern for a subcommittee of the House Agriculture Committee? You hypocrite son of a bitch. Go sit down. Sit down and shut up, Newt. Your history. You don't belong here anymore. Go away. Go away. My God. But you see the way he talks? No. Well, there's always a way. Well, you know, I didn't. Well, back then, because, you know, this and that and then the other thing. And, you know, 2 times 2 is 4. Plus, if you divide by the square root of pi, you get what really happened. And it wasn't as you're trying to make it out. And besides, Chris Wallace, I thought you were one of us. What are you doing? Why are you going after me? I like the part where he said, we would protect Taiwan if there was a Chinese, and then he stopped and said, if the People's Republic invaded Taiwan. You know why? He was going to say, we would protect Taiwan if there was a Chinese invasion. But that's exactly what happened. The nationalist Chinese invaded Taiwan when Chiang Kai-shek had his ass handed to him by Mao. And Newt knows this. And he knows he can't sit there with little Chrissy Wallace and say, we would protect Taiwan if there was a Chinese invasion. Because that would make Newt look like a jackass that he is. The Taiwanese people, the Formosans, as they used to be called, gone. Kind of like, well, okay, they're not gone. But they have been marginalized, kind of like, oh, I don't know, let me think. Native Americans? Newt Gingrich. The serial adulterer. The liar, the committer of fraud, the arrogant former college professor who thinks he's smart or wise. Changing America, the contract with America, the new American this, we're going to do that. We are striving towards, I don't know, let me think of something. Oh, man. All right, y'all have been very patient. Have I said welcome to KPOJ yet tonight? I think I have. You've been very patient. We're going to take your phone calls when we come back. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network, about the only network left that makes any sense at all. Okay, head on radio network. That makes any sense at all.
back. It's about 7 past the hour. Before we come to your calls here, just very quickly, in Paul Krugman's column today in the New York Times, I want to quote a couple things. I'm always intrigued, and I find it funny in a very macabre sort of way, when pundits get on television or Republicans get on television or even Democrats, and they say, well, you know, we've got to cut the mean-spirited rhetoric in Washington. It's dividing the country and across the fruited plain and the media and yada, yada. Tell that to the people who have been in power for the past 10 years. They're the ones who have set this ugly tone. I really do consider my program to be purely reactive where it concerns that. And I will keep it up. I will not allow these miserable sons of bitches to do what they're doing and not respond. But if they want an end to mean-spirited rhetoric, tell that to Republicans, to the Republicans. Tell that to the vermin that infest our airwaves like the pig man and his clones. But Krugman today, Sweet Little Lies is the title of his column. And he says a bunch of stuff. Then he gets to this. The Clinton years were a parade of fake scandals. Whitewater, Troopergate, Travelgate, Filegate, Christmas Cardgate. At the end, there were false claims that Clinton staff members trashed the White House on their way out. Each pseudo-scandal got headlines, airtime, and finger-wagging from the talking heads. The eventual discovery in each case that there was no there, if reported at all, received far less attention. The effect was to make an administration that was, in fact, pretty honest and well-run, especially compared with its successor, seem mired in scandal. Even in the post-9/11 environment, Little Lies never went away. In particular, promoting Little Lies seems to have been one of the main things U.S. attorneys, as loyal Bushies, were expected to do. For example, David Iglesias, the U.S. attorney in New Mexico, appears to have been fired because he wouldn't bring unwarranted charges of voter fraud. And now there's talk about a case in Wisconsin, where the Bush-appointed U.S. attorney prosecuting the state's purchasing supervisor over charges that a court recently dismissed after just 26 minutes of oral testimony, with one judge calling the evidence beyond thin. But by then, the accusations had done their job. The unjustly accused official had served almost 4 months in prison, and the case figured prominently in attack ads alleging corruption in the Democratic governor's administration. This is the context in which you need to see the wild swings Republicans have been taking at Nancy Pelosi. First, there were claims that she had demanded a lavish plane for her trips back to California. One Republican leader denounced her arrogance of extravagance. Then, when it became clear that the whole story was bogus,
he admitted that he had never had any evidence.
Now there's Miss Pelosi's fact-finding trip to Syria, which Dick Cheney denounced as bad behavior. Unlike the visit to Syria by three Republican congressmen a few days earlier, or Newt Gingrich's trip to China when he was Speaker, Ms. Pelosi has responded coolly, dismissing the administration's reaction as a tantrum. But it's more than that. The hysterical reaction to her trip is part of a political strategy aided and abetted by news organizations that give Little Lies their time in the sun. The GOP's reversion to the Little Lie technique is a symptom of political weakness, of a party reduced to trivial smears because it has nothing else to offer. But the technique will remain effective, and the U.S. political scene will remain ugly as long as many people in the news media keep playing along. Yeah, like David Gregory on NBC. Or MSNBC on Hardball, like Chris Matthews, like media whore number one Tim Russert, like Lou Dobbs, like former U-boat commander Wolf Blitzer. It just goes on and on and on. And if you spend any time, and God bless you if you don't, if you spend any time, and I try to limit mine, watching these so-called news programs, blocks, hour upon hour upon hour, of repetition, MSNBC, CNN, I'm sure Fox does the same thing, just over and over and over again, touting this nonsense, ridiculous little lies, these little lies of Republicans, the constant attacks on Pelosi, the constant attacks now on Bill Richardson, the constant, it just never stops. And you know from all those years, as Krugman points out, of the Clinton administrations, that it's all, it's just air, nothing there, nothing, nothing, ever. Even the filthy, voyeuristic Ken Starr, when he left the special prosecutor's office and turned it over to that little turkey that succeeded him, the final report was that after all the years of investigating the Clintons, nothing, nothing, zip, zero. But you ask the average dumbass American about the Clinton administration?
Oh, yeah, that was corrupt. That was awful. Boy, just one scandal after another. Ew. It just never stopped. What was that? The travel gate and the file gate and the trooper gate and the water gate and the pizza gate and the mama gate and your daddy gate and who's your pappy gate and they murdered Vince Foster! They're killing people. And then there were the drug deals in Mena, Arkansas. And Clinton was smuggling coke in. And his wife was a whore in an Indian whorehouse. And oh my God, you didn't know any of that? Yeah.
It's so easy to hate these people. Okay, let's... Oh, God. Don Imus, you jerk. Let's do some phone calls here, starting with Scott in Federal Way, Washington. Hey, Scott.
Yeah. One thing that I wanted to say, which is one reason that I like your show, is that you're very honest when it comes to the subject about race in America and about how white people do not get it. Now, I personally myself could care less about a troll like Don Imus because, right, quite frankly, he's probably saying nothing no more else than he says when he's with his, when he's around his own peers,
right,
so to speak. But, you know, this is the thing. And then you have that emailer that you were that wrote into you that said about, they don't understand, why isn't it okay for us to say stuff like that? Well, it's not. You go
right
back to a time when, people said that kind of stuff to black people in their face, and they were not apologetic about it.
Yeah, and I got a follow-up email to that, Scott, just a couple of minutes ago from somebody who tried to say in his email that I was saying that it's okay for black folk to use that kind of language, which I have not said. I was quoting from an email. What I did say was that any time a white man stumbles into something he doesn't understand, and that is the thicket of, say, rap or black comedians who have been down this road, who have used this kind of humor to take the murderous lynch rope from around their necks. Anytime a white man tries to go there, like Imus did with his nappy-haired hose comment, that white man is in an area where he does not belong. And no matter how hip, no matter how rich, no matter how many, quote, black friends he's got, he still has no business in that thicket.
No, he doesn't have any business into that.
And I said, I was trying to say on the air, and some jerk emailed me and, tried to make it sound like I was saying, oh, black folk have a right to do anything they want. I hate that. Hold on a second. I got to do a break here. We'll come right back, Scott.
Oh, okay.
This is NOVAM Radio Network. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Oh, I love this. Yeah. Yeah. With what? With what? With love!
that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, we're talking with Scott in Federal Way. Okay, where were we before we were interrupted there?
Yeah, about Don Imus. And I'll tell you another thing. I don't want to hear anything about, oh, he's going to therapy to figure out why he said what he said and all that stuff, like the Michael Richards stuff
and all that stuff.
And what made me angry with Michael Richards was not only the fact that he say that over and over again, but then he goes into that tirade about, well, if it had been 60 years ago, I could have had you lynched up for saying what you said to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact of the matter is these people are not Red Fox. They're not Richard Pryor. They're not Flappy White. I don't want to hear it from them. I don't. And as far as, well, it's okay for black people to say that, well, you know something? I will tell this truth. No, I don't think that it is. And quite frankly, we need to get away from that kind of stuff because that's the only... That is, we are the only race that I know that will embrace that kind of an ugly word like that. Because you don't hear any other race, Mexicans, you don't hear this, from Jewish people embracing that kind of ugliness. We need to stop doing that.
I hear
but
you.
But it's not, you know, it's not okay for them to do that. And, you know, as far as, and then there was another comment in there, well, this guy said something like, well, who elected Al Sharpton spokesman for people? I would say, well, who elected Bill O'Reilly spokesman to tell people what they can and cannot say on the air?
Right.
You know, this guy is ready for a straitjacket. He's calling Rosie O'Donnell a wacko.
Yeah.
Excuse me. He is ready for the straitjacket as far as I'm concerned.
It's you know, Greg Ballas is right. We're living in an armed madhouse.
I mean, they get wacko. Called wacko for just raising a question, and she didn't say that she thought that the government was responsible, but she raised the question about that building.
Right.
And then who was it? I can't remember if it was him or was it that other little cockroach on the MSNBC. Not only had the little news analyst, but had the nerve to have Danny Bonaducci as political commentary.
Yes, Danny Bonaducci or Danny, but who? I mean, I just about lost it. I lost it when Danny Bonaducci is suggesting that she be what did he say, that she be strung up?
He should be strung up and hung for treason. This is a man not only one failed show after the other, but Gil goes on his reality show and threatens to cut his wrist in front of his kids, and he's calling somebody else a wacko. Excuse me.
I know, Scott.
I know.
It's madness. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in, Bill.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Yeah, we never comment on that. Remember that, Kathy? It was just a couple of weeks ago. It's all over YouTube. You know, there's a video out there. Danny Bonaducci, another drug-addled freak who goes after Rosie O'Donnell because, like moi, O'Donnell says, you know, she's not saying what she believes. She's saying, I just don't believe the official story.
You know, I really prefer to leave the Anna Nicole Smith, Danny Bonaducci, Rosie O'Donnell, Bill O'Reilly talk for other talk show hosts to discuss. Talk show hosts like, I don't know, maybe Lionel would like to talk about that some evening or some morning or whenever the hell he's on now, because, you know, that's much more in keeping with what that audience wants to hear.
Oh. James is calling from North Carolina. James, welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. Hey, I incidentally did hear that show, the Fire Escape show with you and Sam Cedar. I thought that was great radio. Great radio.
Oh yeah, when I had to come in through the window.
Right.
Yeah, that was
That's
funny
what
as
I call.
Hell.
Yeah.
I was seriously thinking about being armed that night because I was hoping that one of those twits from Air America management would show up and say, "Hey, get him off the air." It would have been fun. It was just going to be Wild West in Lower Manhattan, you know, just guns blazing, you know.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Okay. Just kidding.
What did I call? Oh yeah. Well, I called about John McCain, but I want to open it up because I, you know, there are a lot of people these days who get paid to mix words with their personalities. They get paid with words, and they just get paid to expound and expound and speak and speak and speak without saying much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it sets a lot of people up. There's so much of this going on where you hear so-and-so said this, Bill Bennett, and now this guy, Imus, you know, and so many people are getting caught up in this trap that really is set for themselves now. You know what I mean? It seems like because they make their money with their mouth, just
right
through speaking, and that's funny to me.
It is.
I think there's more of that. But one thing before I go.
Wait. I've got to let you go. We're just flat out of time, but I appreciate
okay.
you checking in. Thanks, James. We'll talk again.
Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk, and I love the way you talk. When you walk that walk, and you talk that talk.
The Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang.
That's an awful promo.
Ow, 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 ow.
When you first started playing that, I don't know how many emails I got from cat lovers who said, oh, Kathy.
Well, let that be a warning to them. Don't ever listen to right-wing radio. I'm telling you, think of the kittens.
She who must be obeyed, huh? All right, back to your phone calls. Who do we have here? Norm is calling from Phoenix. Norm, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. That's a scary thought that maybe Kathy is really the hard ass of the family. But
you have no idea.
Oh, man. Hey, Mike, this has been an amazing night of radio.
Oh, yeah?
Really entertaining. I called because of Imus, but real quick on McCain first.
Yeah.
The thing with McCain is this is like their PowerPoint charts. You know, it's all progress and benchmarks, and it's these baby steps. 2 months from now, he's going to go back. It's only going to take 75 troops and 2 helicopters,
right.
And only 15 people will get executed the day after in the market, right? So that'll be progress.
That's an improvement. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, his question is, what happens if we leave? It's like Senator McCain, crazy train McCain, here's what happens if we leave, is that in about 5 minutes, the Shiites are going to take care of al-Qaeda in Iraq. They're going to wipe out the Sunni insurgency like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that's where McCain's real problem is. He won't come out and say that, but their real problem is that if we leave, then Iran wins because the Shiites win. So really, we're there helping the Sunnis, the people who did 9/11, and the people who are al-Qaeda. We're trying to protect them.
Exactly.
So Iran, you know, it's just stupid. But
it's the Saudi royal family. It's the Egyptian dictator. It's the Kuwaiti royal family.
It's a mess.
It's the United Arab Emirates, where we are opening all our corporate headquarters. These are all Sunnis.
And right, and it's and then again, there's the pride thing. You know, we don't want to look like, you know, because they're going to laugh at us if we leave. They'll be like, ha ha, we beat you. And it's like, how many more Americans are we and Iraqis are we going to kill because we don't want to be laughed at? You know, we're afraid of that. But you know, his thing about his, you guys were talking, you and Kathy were talking about his lies, his misspeaking. And he wants to, you know, vote for me. I don't care what you say, and I'm going to lie to you all the time, right? Either he's trying to be Reagan with the misspeaking, you know, be Reagan-esque, or it seems to me it's like somebody who's trying to get a dinner invitation from you, somebody with a really bad gas problem,
right.
And he's telling you, I'm going to break wind. I've broken wind before. I'll break it again. It's part of life, and it wouldn't be as much fun if I couldn't break wind. So
yeah, and it makes me laugh when I do it, but invite me to your dinner party, right?
You know, it makes no sense, but...
Is this going to be his new straight talk campaign slogan? Vote for me. I don't care what you think.
Yeah, it's a straitjacket express. It's a crazy train. I'm starting to think that Karl Rove.
Wait a minute. That blew right by me the first time you said it. The straitjacket express.
Yeah,
I love that.
I don't think it's original, but yeah, it's him, man. He's lost it, and I think that Rove has something on him, maybe on McCain's wife, which is why he won't criticize Bush, and he's, you know, he's this cheerleader. He doesn't seem like a very enthusiastic cheerleader. He's almost like a reluctant cheerleader.
Yeah.
But he, you know, whatever, I don't know what his problem is, but quickly on the IMUS thing, you were so right on. I wanted to just hug you and give you a kiss, and I'm not like that, but it's like, you were so dead on.
Wait a minute, you're not like what?
I don't usually hug and kiss men, you know.
Well, why? It's great fun.
I haven't tried it yet, but anyway.
Well, you got to try it sometime.
This
it's great
time,
fun.
Right, sure. Any, yeah. You know,
all right.
Philosophy, once is philosophy, right? Thing with I am is, or the thing is with the problem.
I don't, when you first start, though, I don't recommend tongue kissing. That's a little weird at the very beginning.
No,
right?
No.
Just
no.
Little.
How about cheek?
Just sweet. Oh, no, you can kiss on the lips. Sweet little kisses. Yeah.
All right, but back.
But you know what is really weird? When you get beard burn from a guy, then you understand what women have gone through all these years. But anyway,
okay.
Go ahead. Now, where were you?
That's food for thought. The INUS thing is what we white men, and I'm a white guy, I'm almost 50, uh-huh. I'm somewhere between, like, you know, IMUS is, you know, old. He's just an old fool, and he sounded so old on Al Sharpton's show. And by
oh,
the way,
my God, he looked older than he looks on MSNBC.
I think he was trying to play the old card. Like, I'm just an old man. Don't fire me.
Kind of like the old mafia dons that shuffle around.
If I lose this job. You know,
right.
But, you know, his problem, here's the problem, and here's how you can watch him on TV and watch this thing and get a laugh out of it, is that he's trying to be cool by hanging out with angry balls of white skinhead hate like that Bernard guy in his show,
right,
who's really got hostility toward minorities, right? So Imus is, you know, he's looking to him, that those are his younger role models. Then you have the Washington nerds, the Tim Russerts of the world, the Mike Barnicles of the world, the Howard Feynmans of the world, the Chris Matthews of the world, who want to appear hip to their kids or to the young female congressional staffers they hit on. So they want to be on IMUS, so they're looking at him. So now they're horrified because their cool dude has been revealed as just, you know, another old white guy.
Yeah, but haven't they been listening? I mean, I've been really focusing on IMUS for about the past, I don't know, 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's on in the morning. Molly gets us up at like 6:45 in the morning.
Right.
I can't go back to sleep, so I'll flip on the TV in the bedroom, and I'm not going to watch CNN's morning show. So I've been watching IMUS. And like I say, some of his stuff is interviews. Not that he's a good interviewer, but what people say, these newsmakers who get on his program, they just get diarrhea of the mouth, and it's amazing to watch.
Music is good. I'm right there with you, because I used to catch him at the end of the night when 3 hours, you know, we're 3 hours behind in Phoenix, so I'd see it before I'd go to bed if I was up late.
Right.
And the politician stuff, you know, that all stuff was great. The music stuff was great, but I stopped watching it about 8 or 9 months ago because of that skinhead dude. I just was getting an ugly.
Oh yeah, I think he's the producer.
He is, and you know what it is. And there's a whole generation, Mike, and this is what scares me about America more than anything. There's a generation of resentful white guys like him, chip on the shoulder. They don't have the pie, or they feel somehow they get robbed, or they're not getting in on it, and they forget that when they get out in public, they are the man. If you're a white guy, like you were saying, if you're a white guy, you can't aim the gun down. You have to aim the guns up.
That's right.
You speak truth to power. You don't talk trash to the people who haven't had the power.
There you go. These are college girls.
Right. My heart ached when I heard that. I was like, oh, my God.
What a horrible thing to say about college girls.
Go ahead, work hard. Try. Go to school. Be a great athlete. And then what? They'll slap you across the face.
And IMUS gets to call you a nappy-headed hoe.
Yeah,
it's just unbelievable.
It made me ache. And it's like there's so much white anger out there. And it's like, my God. It's misplaced and misguided, and I'm worried about it. Somehow we've got to mellow out the generation that IMUS is listening to and who's listening to IMUS.
That's
his crowd. They are so resentful, and they, you know, and they're threatening to mess it up for everybody.
I hear you. Hey, listen, Norm, hope to see you Sunday at Axis Radius.
To be there, man.
All right, I'll bring the chapstick. Just to...
I won't shave. All right.
All right. Take care,
Mike.
Take care, Norm. Yeah, he's so right about the so-called IMUS generation or the people that are tuned in. I don't know why so many youngish or younger people find this old fart so iconic. I really don't. He was a disc jockey. I'll tell you a story. 38 years ago. I was on the verge of putting together a huge rock festival that was going to be held on Dauphin Island, which is an island right off Mobile, Alabama, in Mobile Bay. And I had booked, I wanted two MCs. I wanted Wolfman Jack, who we booked, to do the nighttime acts, and Don Imus, who we hadn't quite booked, to do the daytime acts. And that's what I know Imus from being a disc jockey. You know, I just lost touch with all reality when I got into talk radio, and all of a sudden I found out that Imus has this simulcast on MSNBC. You know, I figured it out about how long has he been on, Kathy? 3, 4, 5 years, however long it's been. And I just stayed away from it because I knew what Imus was. He was just you know, a washout. Just, he was a disc jockey. He was a drug addict. He was involved in payoff scandals and, you know, play for pay. And just, he represented everything that was hideous and ugly about the shotgun marriage between radio and the recording industry back in the 70s and 80s. It was just horrifying, horrifying. So many good acts were denied airtime because of people like Imus. So many good acts were destroyed because of the greed and crap like people like Danny Goldberg, who wound up running Air America for a while. Goldberg and Imus are out of the same mold. They don't give a damn about talent. They don't give a damn about fulfilling an obligation that they might have to see that people who have talent. I'm talking about when Imus was a disc jockey. It was all, how much are you going to pay me? What are you going to put in my pocket? These are really scummy people, and I just do not understand. Just like I don't understand the connection with Howard Stern. I mean, I really don't. You know, Stern is very entertaining, but people who... he does a whole different thing. I mean, Stern is just in some parallel universe that really is separate from most people. But Stern doesn't present himself as some kind of an expert. He's just a guy having fun. He doesn't give a damn. He's having fun. Imus, on the other hand, because everybody comes and sucks up to him, wants to be on his program. He's like, I don't know. He's like a blue collar Limbaugh, or is that not even that? He's like a country western Limbaugh. I don't even know. What? Go ahead, Kathy. Open your mic.
He doesn't talk about politics often enough, I don't think, to be considered a
no.
True,
but his guests, all his guests do. Not all of his guests, but most of his guests do. I don't know. It's just, and again, I realize I've wasted a whole night of broadcasting talking about this freak, but he is emblematic of so much that is so screwed in this country. He, McCain, Limbaugh, Elliot Abrams, George W. Bush, Chris Matthews, Bill O'Reilly. These people just represent the absolute breakdown of this society.
Obviously killing Americans, but they're killing a lot more Iraqis.
See, there's progress. There's good progress, you know, John McCain or George Bush. Yeah, they're killing a lot of Americans, but they're killing more Iraqis. Jesus, God, it's just, oh, I don't know. Don't forget, if you're in Phoenix or in the Phoenix area, I'm looking forward to meeting you. Come by the Nova M Birthday Bash this Sunday, April 15th. I'll be there, but so will Jeff Farias, so will Bill Press, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman. Who else? Is Bill Clinton going to be there? You don't know? I don't either. Just come on by, hang out with other progressives like yourself. You might even meet your soulmate there, huh? Might as well cruise this event. Why not? There's an info link at MikeMalloy.com in the middle of the homepage, or you can call to get tickets over the phone. You want a phone number? Here you go. Listen up. 602-257-1351. 257-1351. So I hope to see you Sunday the 15th, 4 p.m. for live music, entertainment, drinks, birthday cake at Axis Radius in Scottsdale. And if you check it out on the Internet, this is a pretty cool-looking venue. There's a link to that on MikeMalloy.com, too. So come on by, cruise the event, see what kind of hell, trouble you can get into. You might meet Mr. Wright or Ms. Wright, both. Or Ms. Right Now. Ms. Right, Mr. Right, or Ms. Right Now. All right, back to your phone calls. Who do we have here? Sunshine Jim from British Columbia in Canada. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Kathy. How are you doing?
She's shaking her head up and down, and her head just fell off. So go ahead.
Hey, while I was waiting on the phone, I wrote you a limerick, a McCain limerick.
A limerick? Is it clean?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, let's hear it.
And it's also honest. I'd like to talk about Sam a little bit, too, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. So you want the limerick.
Yeah.
The thing about McCain is that he's sort of lame, and he's always flip-flopping, and now that the other shoe's dropping, as he goes down in flames.
Not the greatest one.
Well, I
wouldn't call that a limerick. You know, maybe an ode. But I don't think that's a limerick. We'll call that an ode.
Yeah, ode. Yeah, well, you're as bad as crankbait on literary criticism, man.
There you go.
He'd give me a hard time for getting the rhythm off.
Yeah, there you go. Getting the rhythm off. Yeah. Well, that is difficult to do. Now, what else did you want to mention? Because we're starting to head towards the mystical, magical hour of time to leave. What else?
Well, there's about 5,000 things. One of them is that one of the things that came out of Sam's blog. I'm sort of repping for the
Sam Cedar, right?
Yeah, I'm sort of repping for the fan base. Actually, is that that's a thing that was born from his efforts and your efforts, and we still talk to a lot of your fans on the blog, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that came out about it is that we formed communities. I don't think they realized that we were going to actually talk to each other.
Right, right. I think you're right.
Yeah. So anyhow, we love you both, and we get messages from people, your old fans, constantly on the blog, left over from AAR, and glad to hear you, and delighted to hear you on Nova.
Well, what's the blog?
The blog, Sam Cedar's blog.
Oh, Sam Cedar's
blog.
Okay, yeah, yeah. That's
we've got almost, since this morning, we've got almost 900 comments from people from all over the United States.
That's great. That's great. Let's see if that'll make any difference to Air America Management.
Oh, no,
which
no,
it won't.
No. We realized that when you went down and Mark Maron went down and we tried. We had somewhat of 30,000 people.
Right.
You know, that we got together and put on a thread. And no, the big problem with AAR has been that we haven't been able to contact people running the show or make it a two-way.
Nah.
It's always been one way.
No, nah, they don't care. They don't give a tinker's damn.
Well, it's sort of the earmark of the corporate method, right?
Absolutely.
So anyhow, we're going to salvage it. You know, there's so much that goes beyond that. That is so trivial in one respect, you know, and we are rising beyond it.
Well, let's hope.
I think so.
All right. Good to hear from you, Sunshine Jim. Take care. I appreciate you checking in. Alvin is in Montgomery, Alabama. Hey, Alvin.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Jesse. You know, Mike, I love you. I've been loving you a long time. I turn a lot of people on to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But I got to differ with you a little bit on Reverend Al.
All right, go ahead.
Now, Reverend Al may not be perfect, but I can't think of any of the white people I voted for all my life and found more acceptable than other whites that are perfect.
Right.
The very best of them don't stand up and look power straight in the eye and stick to it. Like Nancy, I hear people speaking well of Nancy. Nancy came in the office saying that impeachment is off the table.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, any of these leaders I look at, they all are mixed bag.
Let me tell you that. Right. See, the problem I have with Al Sharpton, and this goes back all those years ago to the Tawana Brawley case. He took on what he thought was a legitimate case.
Okay.
And then when it became clear that a young Miss Brawley was making it up as she went along, Sharpton, the Reverend Sharpton, knew that, and he would not give it up. And for a long time, any time Al Sharpton got involved in anything, I just immediately, like a light went off in my head that said, hustle.
Okay, Mike.
I couldn't get away from it. But, let me finish.
Right.
That has changed over the years. I hear what you're saying about Reverend Al. Like I said, he's got his thing going. On the other hand, And I do believe the white people pick the black leaders in this country, just by virtue of the fact of who gets the attention, who gets the microphone, who gets the camera. Just like white people pick the religious leaders. That's why you see this freak Jerry Falwell on camera all the time. He's no more of a religious leader than Satan is.
But here's the difference.
All right.
I don't hear Al Sharpton ever saying, let's go and kill that person.
Well, that's true.
And I don't ever hear Reverend Sharpton, like so many of these white people, trying to do things that
make it harder to vote.
I don't. And here's the thing. Okay, now Barack Obama, he's the one that whites have picked. He's clean as a he's a clean African American.
He is indeed. Alvin, I gotta go. You call in tomorrow night. I'll get you on first. I swear to God I will. I gotta leave now though. Listen, everybody, thanks for participating tonight. Javi did that. I appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Sorry, Alvin.